This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
KBC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Marco Rubio at a Southeast Asian summit in Malaysia, commenting briefly on the talks he's held with China's foreign minister, admitting tariffs are a big part of the conversation these days.
We acknowledged, you know, there are some issues that are going to be, we have to work through, not just beyond trade, but others. But I thought it was a very constructive and positive meeting and gave us a lot to work on.
Back in Washington, hundreds of State Department employees are getting notices they'll be losing their jobs, part of a reorganization of the department. Today, President Trump visits Central Texas, where more than 160 people are still missing from flooding a week ago. A federal judge in New Hampshire has issued a ruling pausing President Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship from taking effect anywhere in the United States. What it means is that the birthright issue will likely once again end up before the U.S. Supreme Court. Immigration raid at a California farm. Masked agents lining immigrants up against a wall, detaining at least one of them. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. For the third straight year, the Universities of Wisconsin system is increasing undergraduate tuition rates for its four-year campuses. UW schools will raise tuition by 5%, except for Green Bay going up by 4% and River Falls adding 5.8%. The announcement comes after the state's biennial budget provided $256 million in additional funding to UW. After a 10-year freeze on tuition increases, the UW system raised tuition by 5% in 2023 and 3.75% in 2024. The Board of Regents unanimously approved the increases. UW La Crosse is moving forward with plans to finish work on the Prairie Springs Science Center. The announcement this week came after $194 million was included in the state's biennial budget for the project. With the additional funding, UWL will add 30 new rooms, including classrooms and labs, to the Science Center. About half of UWL's student body is pursuing a degree in science, according to Chancellor James Beebe. All four of La Crosse's Democratic legislative members voted to approve the biennial budget last week. It was a busy La Crosse Common Council meeting Thursday. The council approved a development agreement for the former La Crosse Tribune building site to add 260 housing units and commercial space. Also approved was a measure to pay $115,000 for park and public space security on weekends, and another item to set aside $50,000 for legal fees related to the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition. Airport operating budget items and a measure to replace the La Crosse Center roof were also approved. La Crosse's Pathways Home program is receiving funding from a state grant. $350,000 was awarded to Pathways Home to hire a social worker and help with housing assistance, treatment plans, and supplies. The La Crosse County Board still has to approve the funding, which should run through 2027. The La Crosse Common Council, meanwhile, is delaying a decision for the Pathways Home Leases program due to a need for more landlords to join the initiative. They'll take it up again at August's meeting. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Bucks introduce Miles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, basketball. At the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas, the Bucks beat the Denver Nuggets last night, 90-89. The Bucks holding a press conference to officially introduce their new center. Miles Turner, picked up in free agency from the Pacers, GM John Horst, head coach Doc Rivers, taking questions for the first time since revamping the roster, waiving Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez moving to the Clippers. Bobby Portis, who's been re-signed, was asked what would he tell Turner about joining the Bucks organization.
Finally found a home in Milwaukee where it's comfortable, winning culture, winning team. We always in the playoffs, always have a chance to win a championship, playing with great players, have a chance to, you know, build a legacy. All those things kind of just hit home for me.
Baseball. Brewers tonight against the Nationals in Milwaukee. Quinn Priester against Washington left-hander Mitchell Parker. The Nationals in last place in the NL East, 16 games behind the Phillies. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Our high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, thunderstorms, some locally heavy rain, our low 68. Tomorrow, scattered showers, thundershowers early, clearing in the afternoon with a high right around 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Jim Santel. We discuss the big takeaways from the United States Supreme Court's last term. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Friday morning. It's July 11th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all the other different platforms out there, thanks for starting the day and ending the work week right here. Let me start with this question for you. You ever feel like you take your citizenship for granted? I mean, for most of you, it just happened. You were born, and you are a citizen of the United States of America, and by and large, it cannot ever be taken away from you. Can you imagine being stateless with no country that officially wants you, no country that officially recognizes you? That sounds awful. Now imagine it happens to you as a baby, and because Donald Trump says so. We're going to talk about the topic of birthright citizenship and whether a baby should have to be stateless because the man baby in the White House doesn't want to follow the Constitution. I don't even know how this is still a thing, but apparently it is. So we're going to be talking about that today. Also, child care providers and parents will be gathering at the state capitol this morning to rally and to outline the next steps needed to address the crisis of affordable child care. They say what was passed in last week's state budget is entirely inadequate to prevent continued closures, which will give parents fewer options and make the state's labor shortage worse. Of course, we'll have our week in review panel, and among the topics, I know that one that's sticking in their craw. Could we please get could we get news sites to stop playing dumb with question headlines like, is Donald Trump violating the Constitution? You're a reporter. Answer the question in the headline. Trump is violating the Constitution, or whatever the case may be. But this whole notion of asking a question so that you have to read it, you know, turning it into clickbait is not information. So I'm sure they'll have to vent about that. We'll talk to Mike Clemens about the Milwaukee Brewers and a season that has gone from the potentially mediocre to the unexpectedly exciting in just a few short weeks. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly will report from the nation's capital as some OBGYNs gather in Washington, D.C. to talk about the nation's healthcare system, and she'll give us a sense of what they are discussing out there. Oh, hey, it's Free Ticket Friday as well, so you can get ready to text us that keyword using the Civic Media app. And you can also leave us a voice note on the app, or you can put something in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube, or you can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. From Brittany Merlot, heavy rain and flash flooding are a risk across the state today. The humidity has really ramped up, so today's statewide forecast is muggy, with scattered showers and storms, especially south. Highs today in the upper 70s up north, mid-80s south. And the winds will be southeast to south around 10 miles an hour. For tonight, showers and storms are expected. Some could be strong. Lows tonight in the mid to upper 60s and a southeast wind around 5 miles an hour. That's your statewide forecast from Brittany Merlot, and we will get much more from her about what the weekend has planned for us weather-wise coming up right after the 7 o'clock news here on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's bring in now from Madison Studio A2, one Parker Olson, because two would be too many. He's got the Mallard shirt on. He is ready for the weekend. How are we doing?
Doing pretty good. I'm having conflicted thoughts about how yesterday the Mallards got rained out, so which means I have to work a doubleheader today.
Oh, no.
So, okay. Not thrilled about that, but, you know.
What time is the first game then today?
First pitch of the first game, I believe, is at 4. So okay.
You got a lot of baseball ahead today.
Yeah, they do shorten it, though, to 7 innings, which is very nice.
Okay. Do they then as well, is it like, you know, do they have to empty the stadium out first and then get today's ticket holders to come in?
I don't remember. Usually they don't do that. Usually I think you can go to both games, but I'm not sure. I would have to look. That's not my job. I work a camera.
But besides working at a game, have you ever like attended a baseball doubleheader?
Mallards
or otherwise, Mallards or anything.
Whitewater, I have, because they only play doubleheaders basically in college. Okay,
I'm about to say something that people are not going to like. Well, baseball purists are not going to like. I love baseball. I love, and people are going to go, well, maybe you don't so much. I went to one Brewers doubleheader, you know, intentionally, like, oh, two baseball games for one ticket. I got to say, by the end of that 7+ hours, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go home now. That was a bit much. Now, that was many, many years ago when you had many more doubleheaders back then in Major League Baseball. Now you really only have them as makeup games. True. And I kind of see why. And again, there was no pitch clock back then. You know, games were regularly 3.25, 3.5 hours. And then there's a long gap between the games. And yeah, so what it's kind of the, yes, you can get too much of a good thing. You know, we're going to leave you alone in the candy shop. And by the time it's all said and done, you're going to go, I don't want the goo goo clusters anymore. I've got a tummy ache.
Yeah.
That was me with the double headers. So unless it's a makeup game, and then you got to do it. Speaking of eating too much, it was really fun to be at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair yesterday with Todd Alba, sampling some of the fair food, having my big old glass of lemonade. The second one, because I spilled the first one.
I saw the first one went down, yeah.
And Todd's sister, God bless her. I mean, she just grabs the mop bucket and everything. She knows that you know, the show must go on. So while Todd and I are doing radio, she's right behind us like Carol Burnett, you know, with the mop bucket, just taking care of my mess with the spilled lemonade. And so we went out to dinner after that and had a lovely time over here on the lake. It wasn't quite... The weather was just a little too dicey. Like, you know, if you take out the boat, that's when you know you're going to get rained on. So, of course, we sat outside for dinner, and it was perfect.
Yep.
The weather, you know, the sun came out, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, guys. You know, but I know full well how this works.
Seems right. What was the best thing you had at the state fair? Northern Wisconsin.
Well, I always have this tradition. I think I've mentioned it before. It's a foot-long hot dog. You know, with onions. Okay. And it's something that started when I was a kid. And I don't know exactly how it started. I'm pretty sure it went like this. My grandma, Grandma Pingle, used to go to the fair with me. We both loved it. So we would just go, the two of us, and go early in the morning. And I don't know. I sense how it started was me going, Grandma, I'm hungry. Grandma, I'm hungry. Because that's why I was like nonstop eater. Like, Grandma, I'm hungry.
Fair.
And the only thing that was open at that point was, you know, a hot dog stand. But it just It just became tradition after that when you walk into a fair, especially if it's in the morning, you get yourself a foot-long hot dog with some onions, and that's what I had yesterday, too. Tradition.
I thought there was going to be a joke in there about how you kept asking about getting food because you were so hungry and she got so tired of you. She was like, all right, let's get you a foot-long hot dog. And you won't be hungry.
That shuts you up. It did shut me up. I mean, again, foot long, it's like, well, he can't talk. He's eating. So there might have been some method to her madness.
There you go.
God bless her. You know. So anyway, we had a really nice time despite the rain. Rained for a time there. But, you know, then we got to go around the grounds. And we will be doing all of that again today. Todd Alba will have his show live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair here in Chippewa Falls from 2 to 4. We're in one of the exhibit buildings, so come on in and see us. We're in one of the buildings. We're right inside the door. Can't miss us. And we'd love to have you stop by and say hello. I believe our music station, 105.7 CFW, has a ticket drawing, has a ticket giveaway that you can sign up for, tickets to Foreigner. They're playing tomorrow. Florida is playing tonight. So come on out and see us at the fair if you get a chance.
Very nice.
Have you noticed... let's see. Tony asks if I will be providing the singing today.
You're not topping the barbershop.
No, that barbershop quartet that performed on Todd's show yesterday. I mean,
they were awesome.
They were very impressive. Yes, exactly. And Tony asks, are the Republicans going to pop over today? Because again, it's a building full of exhibits, and one of the exhibits right behind Todd is the Republican Party.
I spotted that.
Chippewa and Eau Claire counties. Yeah, and you know. Just a little bit further down the way is the Democratic Party, and they're not getting nearly the publicity that they could. But everybody's walking all over the place, and we did say the offer's open if Derek Van Orden happens to be visiting the Republican booth there. I mean,
he doesn't go to his own district.
We'll tell you. Exactly, right? So I'm like, we can't even, you know, tap a keg to lure him, you know, like bait or something. I don't expect that we will see him, but we'll see. You never know during Todd's show. Anything is possible.
It's very true.
Have you noticed the shorter days already?
I have. I was thinking this morning as I was driving in, and I don't know if it's just because it's cloudy and muggy and whatever, but yeah. I couldn't see the sun hardly at all. I couldn't believe
it. So I looked at the stats here, and 30 days ago from right now, 30 days ago was our earliest sunrise, 5:18 in the morning.
Okay.
The sun now rises at 5:30. Oh my gosh, it's terrible.
I'm way in work before then.
And the sunset last week was the latest sunset at 8:56 here in the Chippewa Valley, and it's now 8:51. So that math tells me we've already lost around 15 minutes of daylight. I mean, I may as well put up the Christmas tree. You know, summer's over.
Sun
should be setting at 4 p.m. and no time whatsoever, you know.
Yeah.
That always gets me when people are like, oh, you know, summer's half over. So no, we got all of July left. We got all of August. Sometimes we get, you know, summer weather stretching into September. We will be fine.
That's true.
We'll live, you know.
Yeah.
The Brewers were off yesterday. They play the Washington Nationals tonight to open up a 3-game homestand. And then that's it. It's time for the All-Star break next week. And then the Brewers will be back in action next Friday night in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. But while we're talking about the Brewers here and the Nationals, how about we try to make you a winner of some tickets? Yeah, it's Free Ticket Friday. Your chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets. All you need to do is listen for our keyword and use that Civic Media app to text it to us before the end of the show at 9 a.m., and you'll be entered in this statewide contest for 4 tickets to Sunday afternoon's game versus the Washington Nationals, okay? So if you are in a position where you can go to Sunday afternoon's game at American Family Field, Brewers and Nationals, and you want 4 great seats, you want to get in the running for these tickets. Great tickets. There, we do a random drawing statewide from the entries, and this hour's keyword using the Civic Media app is ball, B-A-L-L. And one winner will get a 4-pack of club-level seats. So again, download that Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find a station, use the text button, enter the keyword ball to be entered, and don't forget to listen to Jane and Greg, and then Tom Hartman, and then Todd Alba from the fair, and Maggie Dawn, because they will all have chances for you to win on Free Ticket Friday. All right, we'll go through this thing about birthright citizenship in a court case, and again ask, like Jane and Greg do, how is this a thing? From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back on this Friday morning. Again, as always, we'd love to have you as a subscriber to our newsletters, including the Sunday morning one that I put together, wrapping up the week's political news. We also have our Monday through Friday newsletter, which today includes some information about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Also, a link to an article we did on various informative and fun factory tours in Wisconsin. You can't do that just anywhere. You can't just walk into a place and go, hey, I want to see what you do. I want to see what you make here. Other places are much more welcoming about those kinds of things, and the best ones are outlined in this article, along with a story about a national list of the most scenic destinations in Wisconsin. It's the most scenic destinations in the U.S., broken down by state. And so our article tells you about the seven most scenic destinations in Wisconsin. And remember, when we talk about scenic destinations, we're talking about the view. Does not necessarily mean the amenities. I have been to places where the view is spectacular. Good luck finding a bathroom, you know, or a hot dog, you know, or anything of sustenance or substance. But the view is outstanding. So this is just about the scenic destinations. You might have to pack a picnic basket, but you're going to want to see these places across the state. Again, that's in our newsletter. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. Across the Civic Media Radio Network, it's important for you to know that Todd Alba is not only at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair today, he is getting set to go road tripping next week with Jane Matinere. They are hitting the road with stops in Oshkosh and Butternut and Hayward. And so Jane and Greg and Todd are going to be sharing stories about what makes Wisconsin great. So you're going to want to tag along for that. So be listening next week. I was listening to Todd talk over dinner about the planning that's involved in all of this, and it's going to be great. Some wonderful destinations. So check that out all next week, Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show. Well, one of the news stories that we're following this week, along with the aftermath of, you know, the state budget bill and the Trump tax spending boondoggle, is the ongoing effort by the Trump administration to pretend the Constitution doesn't exist when it comes to the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship. And at one point, the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to give Trump a bit of a victory when it came to one particular case, saying that federal judges, federal district judges, could not put nationwide injunctions on executive orders, that the judge's ruling only applies in that particular federal district, which sounds silly to me because a federal district is not a state. You know, it is part of the federal judiciary. But be that as it may, the conservative justices said, nope, can't have a national injunction unless it's a class action lawsuit. If it's people, not just one person filing this suit, but if it's on behalf of like a national population of people, you know, then that can proceed. So a federal judge in New Hampshire ruled yesterday, blocked the Trump administration from enforcing its executive order ending birthright citizenship by certifying the current lawsuit as a class action, and said that his decision applies nationwide to babies who would have been subject to the executive order, which includes the children of undocumented parents and those born to academics in the United States on student visas. The Trump administration, here's the exact line from the New York Times article. The Trump administration has fought to challenge the longstanding law laid out in the Constitution that people born in the United States are automatically citizens regardless of their parents' immigration status. Let me read that first part again. The Trump administration has fought to challenge the longstanding law laid out in the Constitution, dot, dot, dot. How is this still with, how can you just say he's fought to challenge the law laid out in the Constitution? You may as well say Trump has filed this lawsuit against the laws of gravity. Would we both sides that thing? Would we say, well, you know, Trump's got some good points to make about gravity. Maybe it's not a real thing. No, it's the law of gravity. It's there for a reason. And the same goes for the Constitution. What's in the Constitution is in the Constitution. And there is no valid legal argument that has been made. And even the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, in kicking this thing back to federal court, did not rule on the merits of birthright citizenship. It was just about the extent of a federal judge's abilities to impose injunctions on executive orders. Well, now, with it being a class action lawsuit, this is now a national case that will, again, eventually work its way back to the Supreme Court. And that, to me, is truly going to be the test of just how much we have politicians in justices' robes on the U.S. Supreme Court. If they are willing to rule against this thing that's in the Constitution, when those justices threw out Roe v. Wade and the abortion protections inside of it, it was because they said that an earlier Supreme Court looked at the language in the Constitution and said, the language that's in there creates a right to privacy, and that includes the privacy of women to make their own healthcare decisions. This Supreme Court said, well, the right to privacy is not explicitly said in the Constitution. They're inferring it, and we reject that. But this is a different case. These are the actual words in the Constitution. And if this U.S. Supreme Court eventually overturns birthright citizenship and turns babies born in America into stateless American children who are American by birth, but not American by citizenship, not officially recognized by the government of the country they were born in, and have no other country that recognizes them, we will have truly sunk into a dark place in this country. And we'll monitor this as we go along. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil about some of the headlines of the week as well, birthright citizenship, and more, live from Lake Wissota after the Midwest Farm Report. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sticky, cloudy, and overcast. All the conditions that things like white mold and tar spot are looking for. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. These ideal conditions have more Wisconsin farmers turning to some of the apps that have been developed by our talented University Extension staff, like Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist. Unfortunately, he says, because of a staffing shortage on campus, they don't have people available to upgrade the apps. So instead, they're turning to the web. He explains.
Some of you who probably use the standalone smartphone apps are noticing that those apps are no longer working on your phones and things. We've transitioned away from the standalone smartphone app, and we now have a couple of tools that are available on that BadgerCropNetwork.com site. So anything that runs a web browser, your smartphone included, can run these new tools, but these are interactive tools. They run multiple diseases for multiple crops.
So the information still available, just in a different location. Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist. If you're accustomed to using his Sporecaster app or any of those other tools on your smartphone, now just go to BadgerCropNetwork.com and bookmark that page. Markets are next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a penny and three quarters to 171. 40-pound block cheese down a penny on Thursday at 168 and a half, while AA butter gained 2 3/4 cents to 259 a pound. This morning, the August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down two at 1784. Currently, September corn's down a penny, December new crop down a penny at 415. August soybeans are up a penny, November new crop unchanged at 1014. September wheat's unchanged, currently at 554, December unchanged, 575 a bushel. Just a quick market snapshot. On a Friday morning, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Our high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, thunderstorms, some locally heavy rain. Our low 68 tomorrow. Scattered showers, thundershowers early, clearing in the afternoon with a high right around 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right in
the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, doing some recombobulating, an extended session with Dan Schaefer, who joins us at 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
All right, we're back on this Friday morning, which means it's time to talk to Courier Newsroom National Political Editor Kia Vakil. Kia, how are you?
I am well, Pat. How about yourself?
Good. Did you have a quiet 4th of July break out there in L.A.?
I really did. We had a picnic with some friends, and then I watched some soccer and went to another friend's birthday. Studiously avoided fireworks, and otherwise just kind of hung out and tried to rest and recuperate from the past 6 months of chaos.
Oh, yeah. That's putting it mildly. And I already know you don't pay a lot of attention to sports out there in L.A., but with the Brewers having just swept three from the Dodgers the Dodgers have not been having a great week. I don't know how much that carries over into L.A. at large because it's so large, but the Dodger fan base is not tiny.
No, LA is huge, but the Dodgers are, I would say, like the most, they have the like most significant fandom and the most like working class, middle class fandom. So, yeah, when they're struggling, I think, baseball's 162 games. So it's like a 3-game loss, a losing streak is not the end of the world. But yeah, they sell out every game. Their fans care deeply. I'm sure there are a lot of fans who are frustrated.
Oh, with that much payroll overall and then that much payroll just on the injured list, yeah. I can totally understand that. All right, let's get into some of the stories of the week. One of the more recent ones deals with birthright citizenship. How is this a thing? But it is. And so on Thursday, a U.S. district judge kind of did the only thing you can do after where we are in this process, and that's create a class action status for people that want to challenge the Trump administration's effort to try to say that birthright citizenship, it might be in the Constitution, but they didn't really mean it.
Yeah. I mean, after the Supreme Court ruling that sort of blocked nationwide injunctions, the justices left an opening for, another way to oppose Trump's order, which is to file lawsuits as class actions. That's what happened. And this judge essentially certified that, creating a way to another injunction on Trump's order, essentially. Trump, we know birthright citizenship is guaranteed in the Constitution. And so we know that on the merits, this is so blatantly unconstitutional that it's shocking that it's even gotten this far. But, we have a judiciary that was primarily appointed, or at least plurality, by Donald Trump. And so there's a lot of far-right justices. As of now, that order is on hold. I think they left some time for appeals and other filings. It's a big deal. It creates a pathway for a way to block it, hopefully permanently. That's getting a little ahead of ourselves. There's going to be a dispute. I would not be remotely surprised if this ultimately winds up back before the Supreme Court. They didn't rule on the merits of it, but I think that's probably in our future.
Oh, no doubt there. And now it's interesting that the district judge said his decision applies nationwide to babies who would have been subject to the executive order, in part because, as the ACLU says, under the terms of Trump's order, people born to parents in the country unlawfully risk being rendered effectively stateless, which, that's absolutely common sense. If your parents are undocumented here in the United States, but you're born here in the United States and you've never been in the country where your parents came here from, mm-hmm. I mean, you're not a citizen of that country either. So again, I say, not to you, but to the, how is this a thing? Why are we talking about this? And yet, like you said, it's going to be in courts for a while yet.
Yeah. And I think just the concept of being stateless is something that I think no one probably thinks about in their day-to-day life. If you're born in the US, you're a citizen of the US. You never, like, we take a lot for granted with that, you know, but like, let's say you're born in Brazil or Denmark or Mexico or South Africa, any country, like you have a state. This would essentially create a state, like a minority, extreme minority of people who would have nowhere to call home, would have no real rights, would have no citizenship. Where do they go? And if you're saying, I don't care, they just can't be here, that's not an acceptable answer. These are human beings. And, you know, I think the Trump administration's entire immigration agenda is particularly cruel and evil. But this is so beyond the pale because they were born here. They don't have another state to go to. Like, obviously, I don't think deporting gardeners and landscapers and taqueros and all these folks is particularly, it's not making anyone safer. It's ruining lives. They are from a country they were born in, whether it's Mexico, Colombia, El Salvador, China, somewhere else. They have that citizenship. Stateless people will not have that. Where do they go?
That's the thing. You can't, like, it's like they saw that one movie from 2004, that Tom Hanks movie, The Terminal. And it's all about a man from Eastern Europe. He's stuck in the terminal at JFK in New York, denied entry in the United States, but he can't return to his home country because there was a military coup there. And so he just lives at the airport. I almost feel like they want to round up all these kids and take them to JFK and say, well, you know, you can get a Cinnabon from here and read some magazines, but you can't be in the United States anymore. I know that sounds silly, but so does the whole premise of what they're proposing in court. Does it sound silly? It's worthy of a Hollywood movie that, you know, everybody has long since forgotten.
Yeah. And I mean, we're talking about babies. Like, they can't do anything on their own. They can't decide. Like, they have zero control or autonomy. They are babies. Like, they literally cannot function without parents or other guardians or adults taking care of them. So it's a death sentence in a way to babies. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, this birthright citizenship thing is, we love to hear, you know, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and all these people love to say, oh, if you don't get this under control, you don't have a country anymore. That's BS. But like, if you're saying people born in the U.S. are not citizens of the U.S., then you don't actually have a country anymore, because you're targeting people born here, guaranteed by the Constitution.
And if we're going to do that, again, it does make me wonder when Melania Trump and when J.D. Vance's wife are going to maybe speak up a little bit more than they have been so far. Let's make the tough transition down to Texas. Courier has a team down there in Texas, thankfully not in harm's way, but having to report on such a difficult story with all of the loss of life from the floods. How is the team doing? How is the story unfolding here?
Yeah, they're hanging in. You know, I mean, it's been a devastating tragedy there. Our folks, you know, were mostly based in, you know, Austin, Houston, and Dallas, so no one was like directly impacted in that way. But, you know, one of our staffers has gone to like sleepaway summer camps as a child, like, and it's devastating. It's a lot of little kids who've died, unfortunately. And I think the thing they were most demoralized by was on, you know, frankly, I hate this phrase, but in this case, it applies on both sides. There was a rush to like really turn this into like a political football and fuel conspiracy theories and point blame while like 6 hours into this. And there is a time to cast political blame. Yes, Texas should do more to fight climate change. Yeah, these local counties should probably get more funding from the state to install better alert systems. Yeah, the Trump administration should do X. But like, when hundreds of kids are still missing within a day, and, you know, there's a lot of folks online, just the chattering crowd being like, oh, this is a red state, you deserve this for voting red. They're people in Texas rightfully get pissed at that. That's not everyone in that state votes red. Even if you vote red, no one deserves this. No one deserves suffering to see their lives destroyed. Maybe their kids swept away, their property destroyed. No one. And whether you're in California or Texas or Wisconsin or Arkansas, I don't care what the politics are. Natural disasters happen everywhere. And there shouldn't be a politicization of it. You know, we should give them aid. We should give the wildfire victims in California who still have gotten no help from the federal government aid. People deserve help in tragedies and not to be treated like a political football.
And I mean, that is the bottom line, is this I think a lot of this wouldn't be the case if you didn't start seeing several years back, especially after Hurricane Sandy, people in Congress actually voting no on aid to their fellow American as a result of this. So you're right to be upset about it. But I can see how we got to this point, unfortunately.
Yeah.
A lot of the week's news has dealt with the Trump Republican bill that was passed late last week. And throughout the week, we've been passing along, you know, new things that we're discovering in this, like, you know, extending, you know, permanently the tax break on corporate jets and those kinds of things. And so many of the courier outlets are talking to people in their states where, again, this has been a week of discovery and disappointment for a lot of Americans.
Yeah, I mean, this bill is massive. I was putting together a list yesterday of just different things it does, and I stopped at 25 because at a certain point, like, you just don't have time to cover all the bad things. But, you know, it's people on Medicaid, like, are going to lose their health care. Nursing homes are going to close. Rural hospitals are going to close. And, you know, this is there are going to be some people who are like, oh, reporters, the media is being alarmist. Democrats are being alarmist. This isn't going to happen. It's just typical fear mongering, but it will happen. You have hospitals saying it. You have nursing homes saying it. You have the families of disabled kids on Medicaid saying it. It might not happen for a year or two because a lot of the worst Medicaid cuts don't go into effect till 2027 because they cleverly want to delay them till after the next elections in the midterms. But these things are going to happen. Like, a lot of very smart people have read this bill, have analyzed this bill, work in nursing homes and hospitals. They see the writing on the wall, and it's devastating. Like, our North Carolina reporter interviewed these two parents of children with disabilities who rely on Medicaid for the very expensive treatments they get to stay alive. And, you know, this bill doesn't explicitly target kids on Medicaid, but there's a lot of indirect cuts that could prove life-threatening for these families, and that's awful. The food cuts into SNAP, that's going to put more strain on food banks, which are already struggling with more demand. You know, there's ways in which this bill, it alters the way you can take out student loans to go to medical school. If you are a, like, you know, lower middle class, working class kid growing up in rural Wisconsin and you want to go to medical school, this caps how much loans you can take out, both per year and for your lifetime. And what that means is essentially only the rich or people who are willing to take out an astonishing amount of private loans, which are usually quite predatory, will go be doctors and lawyers. What does that mean? It means people are not going to get treatment, like, from doctors. There's going to be a doctor shortage. There's going to be potentially a legal shortage. And the people who do go into it are going to be forced to pursue the most highest paying jobs because they're going to have to pay off even more debt in private loans, which have higher interest rates. There are all sorts of impacts from this bill, and we're going to cover them over the next weeks, months, and years. But, you know, it is one of the worst bills I have ever seen.
And you know, despite while we cover it every day, feel like it lasted for a while, it was, in the grand scheme of things, you know, rushed. You understood why Donald Trump wanted this rushed by July 4th. He turned it into a symbolic thing, but he knew as more people would find out, they would not like what's in this. And there is so much in it that, yes, it's going to be a months-long project just to convey all this, not just what's in it, but as all of this unfolds and starts to harm real Americans. They'll find out the tax breaks that are permanent, like corporate jets, and then they'll look at that no tax on tips and overtime and realize it's only temporary. It gets you through the end of Trump's term, and then, ha, magically, it goes away. So a lot to study. Kiev Akil goes through all the stories that our reporters across the country do for Courier Newsroom, and we appreciate him joining us every week to put it all in perspective. Kia, thank you so much. Have a good start to the weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
We'll have today's history lesson right after this. You're up north.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbro, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans and their families. For more information, please visit WISVets.com. That's WISVets.com. Message sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You lay so easy on my mind. Also me.
Oh, we're going back to 1973 for the start of today's history lesson. This is country singer Bobby G. Rice. Happy birthday to the native of Boscobel, born this day in 1944. Between 1970 and 1988, Bobby G. Rice released 9 albums, charted 30 songs on the Billboard Country Singles Chart. His biggest hit was this top 5 hit from 1973, You Lay So Easy on My Mind. Happy birthday of sorts to the United States Marine Corps. It was reestablished this day in 1798, having been disbanded 15 years earlier after the Revolutionary War. And one more historical note, there was a duel this day in 1804 in which the Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr, mortally wounded former Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton, because as we learned from the musical, everything is legal in New Jersey. Joining us for today's history lesson, as always on Fridays, the one, the only, Gregorian Ilyanovich Bachtober. You know him as Greg Bach. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Good morning, all people.
Tony, right away, jumping right into this. So where's the big old I told you so sign? It's true. If Greg had walked in with a big sign saying I told you so, it would have been the appropriate way to start this off. Look at this energy, Greg. Look at how good I've felt.
He's
the past
been very
couple of
peppy.
Days. So, he's been very right. peppy.
I love two things, cheap and peppy. Peppy and cheap. Those are two things I love. It's a great movie. Soap dish. Get it in your life. So, first of all, I told you, quote unquote, I told you so isn't my style. That's not how I roll in life. That's not how I do things.
Okay.
Two, that makes me so happy.
Aw, thank you.
Let me ask you a question. What was it like you used it the next day. What did you feel like?
For folks just tuning in and think we might be in some weird dark territory, we're talking about a CPAP machine, kids.
Yeah.
Jeez. But we're going to lift that tape and find other ways to use it. The first morning after the CPAP machine, using it, yeah. I thought I'd be struggling. I thought I'd feel claustrophobic. I'd grouchy from not getting enough sleep. I felt like a new person. Like I'd finally gotten, I was able to breathe, yep. And I felt like $1 million and yeah. Have felt good the next two mornings since then. It's been amazing, and I am deeply grateful that you are my personal trailblazer toward a life of CPAP.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so and I'm proud of you too, because a lot of people don't take those steps. They just don't, mm-hmm. for various reasons, and they're their reasons. So, I hope people listening who have been thinking about it, who have been having problems sleeping, really, take in the information we've been giving them for the past few months, because it really is life-changing. I cannot stress that enough. Yeah. And I'm so happy that that's how you're feeling. And it's only going to get better with every time you use it. And I'm not casting a downer at any moment, but like in the time I've been doing it, there have been a couple nights where I have like fallen asleep and just not put it on. You do feel it the next day. There is whatever, but it's just going to get better and better and better and better. And yeah, that energy, that life, maybe one less cup of coffee in the morning because you just don't actually need it. You're just, you're not struggling. It's great. And I'm so excited for you.
That's great. Thank you again. And Parker, of course, is over here. He's not even a coffee drinker to begin with, much less having to deal with middle-aged problems.
This is the conversation that is aimed the least at my demographic of all time.
you are not the target demographic. Yes.
No, I mean, honestly, buddy, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's not true.
There are younger people that get
CPAP. CPAP doesn't know age. It doesn't know height. It doesn't know weight. It affects you because it's how your body's
designed.
Shape
of your face.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing too. If you're younger and you're listening to this, well, congratulations, listening to radio. But also,
you're up on.
But it might not be like what you think. Go get a test. Go get tested. Find out what's going on. Because it's life-saving.
On the text line, Matt in Germantown, CPAPs are great. Used to use one all the time. Then finally was able to lose enough weight, and that solved the problem. Although I would add, one of the things I learned is that's not necessarily true for everybody. Mm-hmm. But when I needed it, it was amazing. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got another history note from the comment section, but we should keep the music rolling here. So let me tell you another birthday. Jeff Hanna, lead singer of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, is 78 today.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you.
There you go. Let's see. From Tony, where is it? Oh, here it is. Of course, it's July 11th. He says, it's National 7-Eleven Day. Everyone got their Slurpees?
Oh, baby.
And yes, 7-Eleven, they have their Slurpee special like they do every year this day.
I've never had a Slurpee in my life. This is an icy house.
I had a school bus stop in St. Paul that was on a corner with a 7-Eleven.
Oh.
And yeah, so also, I had a lot of cavities back in the day.
I also feel like if you lived in Wisconsin, 7-Elevens are not, it's not really prevalent at all. But it also, I feel like for a long time, they just didn't exist here.
No, they didn't. I mean, they're national, but that doesn't mean everywhere. And so, yeah, we had them in that particular place. But now, of course, we're here in the land of Quick Trip, where there are no Slurpees. One more quick birthday here. Suzanne Vega is 66 years old today. There. Now we've got that in the background to tell you that this is also National French Fries Day, it's National Motorcycle Day, and it's National Kebab Day. You may say kebab, but some of us who saw Flight of the Conchords will never forget that song, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, with the lyrics, I draw you near, let's get out of here, let's get in a cab, I'll buy you a kebab. I can't believe I'm sharing a kebab with the most beautiful girl I have ever seen with a kebab.
Most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh, Parker, watch the Flight of the Conchords.
Watch Flight of the Conchords.
I'll add it to the list.
Add it to the list. Greg Bach, thanks for checking in. Thanks for the treatment, the encouragement, and we'll catch you on Jane's show. And then on the road next week, big trip
Right. That's right. We're going to be all over Wisconsin. We'll talk more about it on the show coming up, but we're going all over the north of Wisconsin with Todd Albaugh.
That's fantastic. So stay tuned for Jane and Greg following this show. And, of course, more here on our mornings powered by Up North News next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump visiting Texas today to assess damage from the catastrophic flooding that killed 121 people. More than 160 are still listed as unaccounted for. A federal judge in New Hampshire issuing a ruling prohibiting President Trump's order ending birthright citizenship by certifying a class action suit on behalf of all children who will be affected. ABC's Devin Dwyer.
Predictably, they're saying, here we go again. Another district court judge has gone off his rocker. He is violating the spirit of the Supreme Court's decision. And so all eyes are going to be back on the Supreme Court, probably in a matter of weeks, that this will make its way back up to the justices again, at least in an emergency basis. And they'll be asked to weigh in on what this New Hampshire judge did is a class action.
Brazil's current president says he will impose retaliatory tariffs if President Trump follows through on 50% tariffs over Brazil's criminal trial against Trump ally Jair Bolsonaro. This is ABC News.